You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Well, it is good to see. We have, I don't know how many more, like 10 more baptisms in the second service. So that is exciting. Amen. Going to throw you a little bit of a curveball today, so turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel, but Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, and verse 27, just one verse, and you're like, wait a second, I think we're supposed to be in chapter 4 of Daniel, but you'll see why. We're going to jump ahead just to one verse in a minute. Daniel 6, if you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one somewhere around you in the seat rack, grab that. That is our gift to you, and we want you to have a Bible, and then bring it back with you every Sunday or Saturday, whenever you come to one of our worship services, and it's on page 835, did I say that, in that Bible. Daniel 6:27, are you there? Say I'm there. Some of you still looking. All right, give you five more seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1, all right. Are you there? Say I'm there. All right, that's better. All right, just this verse. He delivers, talking about God, circle delivers if you're writing your Bible, and rescues, circle rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved, circle saved, Daniel from the power of the lions. We're going to look at that here in a few weeks. But he delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Our God is the God of salvation, amen? And we just sang about that some. But there's something that about salvation that a lot of Christians don't get, and obviously lost folks don't get it. But God is the God of salvation. In other words, it's his. In another passage, Psalm 3, salvation belongs to who? The Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then David said, and we're going to be looking at this, restore, this is after he sinned, screwed up, really bad, and he said, restore to me the what? Joy of whose salvation? Your salvation. So it's God's salvation from start to finish. He's the initiator, right? And so he's the one that has set it all up. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that brings it to us. It is the salvation of God, not the salvation of me, even though I am saved in the process. I was, two nights ago, I was sleeping, and I was having good rest, and right in, I know when it was, like 4:43 a.m., all of a sudden, I got one of those leg cramps. Anybody? Leg cramp? Oh, yeah. And, I mean, to where it just wakes you up, and you're like, and it was this leg, and Robin is laying next to me, just, so and I didn't want to wake her, you know, because I'm a wonderful husband. And so I roll out of bed. As soon as this leg hits the floor, I get a cramp in this leg too. Now I've got two cramps in both legs. And I'm like, and you know what you do? You're like, and you're trying to walk it out. And you try to stretch, and I'm walking, bumping into things. I mean, it sounded like six guys with AK-47s had busted in, and I'm fighting them, and Robin is still. So I go to the kitchen, and I go to the kitchen because I've heard that, you know, bananas, and there's this one banana that should have been thrown away 3 days ago. I grabbed that sucker, ate it down, and then I remembered pickle juice, and so I go to the refrigerator, just slamming pickle juice, yelling, screaming, and in the midst of all that, I said a potty word. Now, not the ones that you say, just a moderate potty word. But here's Pastor John in the middle of the night, or 4:40, like by this time, 4:47 a.m., and I let one fly. And I think I said it three times in a row. Question. Now, this is rhetorical, so don't answer. Did I just lose my salvation? You're not supposed to answer. All right, okay. Praise the Lord. How about this then? Let's up the ante. True story. There was a man, loved God with all his heart. I mean, he loved God, loved being in God's house. He was the real deal. And he loved, anytime the doors were open, he was there. And he served God and he gave. I mean, he was more than a tither. And he also had an amazing gift. He could write worship music, and he wrote some amazing songs that people all over sang. But in a moment of weakness, or in several set-up things that Satan set him up, he starts an adulterous affair with another man's wife. This guy who loves God, serves God, tithes, and lady gets pregnant. And then he tries to hush it up, right? Doesn't want to get an out scandal. Doesn't work. Tried several things. Doesn't work. It's going to get out. And so to fix it, he puts out a hit on this lady's husband and has him killed. Dude's name's King David. Did King David lose his salvation? He's an adulterer, a liar, a murderer. And David said, we just read his words, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore to me your salvation. He said, restore to me the what? The joy of your salvation. All over this room, there are some of you that every time I give an invitation, you pray the prayer. And you trust Jesus for the 75th time, right? Just want to make sure. There are others of you that you think you're Christian and you're not. There's some of you, man, you're solid. You're on your way to heaven and you're just apprehensive about it. And Satan doesn't want you to know for sure that you're a child of God. Because when you're sure that you're a child of God, then you know where you're going. You have a peace that passes understanding. You have a hope of your future and you want other folks to go there with you. And so you tell folks about that. But when you're not sure, you ain't telling anybody because you're not sure yourself. So that's what we're going to look at today. And I thought we'd take a detour in our series because many of you are exactly here. And this book of Daniel is all about the sovereignty of God. And also because we've got folks coming into our church from different churches that teach different things on this. And I want to show you not what John says, not what this church says, but what the Word of God says, all right? Undisputable, irrefutable, what God says. So I'm preaching today on this. Sovereign God of salvation. 8 reasons why the born-again believer cannot lose their salvation. Cannot. And some of you right now, you're getting your hackles up. You're like, oh, I don't believe that. Hang on. All right, hang on. Don't just believe it because I say it. Believe it because you see it in Scripture. But I preached this last night and had some folks come up to me and just like, man, I needed that. And then one of our guys this morning said, man, I just needed that so much. Because some of you, you've been screwing up. And you thought you're a child of God, and then something happened, and you were tempted by Satan, and you bit, and you went back to that addiction. Or you did that thing. Or you said that thing, right? And then you're like, okay, did I just lose my salvation? Do I need to get saved again? And you're kind of in a spiritual no man's land. And I want to help you this morning with this. So, because God's the sovereign God of salvation. And this 8 reasons, I just picked the top 8 reasons why born-again believer cannot lose their salvation. I love those Daniel t-shirts we sold. If you see them around and you're like, I want one of those. Too late, sorry, you waited too long. I think there are 12 left, and they're in odd sizes, if I remember right, medium or something like that. And we sold over 130 of those things. And on it, it says, it doesn't say Daniel series. It says, my God is sovereign. That's the message of Daniel, the book of Daniel. So today we're going to look at one of my favorite doctrines, if not my favorite doctrine in the whole Word of God, this thing of God is sovereign over salvation, the eternal security of the true believer, not the professed believer, but the true believer, the eternal security. And some people say this, I don't really like this term, but you know, you might have heard it, once saved, always saved, which is true. It just sounds a little trite. So and you're like, well, John, I grew up, I didn't grow up that way. I get it. All right? Many of you didn't. You might, well, my mama told me, let me say this as gently as I can, it don't matter what your mama said. It don't. It don't matter what Pastor John says. It only matters what Jesus says. Amen? So 1 John 5, this is the testimony. All right, this is the truth. God has given us what? Say it now. Eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And then he just breaks it down. Let me simplify it for you. He who has the Son has life. Say, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's a big division in the universe. Those who have life, eternal life. Those who don't have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that, here's why I'm writing this, you may know. You may what? You may know that you have eternal life. And some people would say, well, that's presumptuous. Nobody can know. He says, I wrote this whole book of 1 John so you could know. So you could know for sure, because if you don't know for sure, you ain't going to be the Christian you ought to. You might get to heaven and you're like, phew, oh, man, I made it. And you're surprised. When you could have lived your life with a life of assurance and a life of fruitfulness. So I can stand here and say that I know that I know that I know. When my heart beats its last, I will close my eyes in this world and open up and say, hey, Jesus, you don't look like I thought you'd look. And, that's kind of haughty. That's not haughty at all. It's biblical. But you might say, well, John, but I know somebody who was a Christian, and they were like the dude you were talking about, David, and they worked in the church, and I knew that they were saved, but then they fell into this huge, huge scandalous sin, you know, and they've been living like the devil for years. They didn't repent like David does, you know, and you tell me they didn't lose their salvation. Okay, I'll tell you, they didn't lose their salvation. Well, what do you mean? Hang with me. First of all, you don't know who here is really saved. You don't. For sure. Now, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. That's talking about false prophets in that context. But we can't peer into someone's soul and see the blood of Jesus applied. We can only see the outward manifestations. But there are people that I had a guy in my last church in Michigan years ago, and he was a wolf in the flock. And he was tearing it up. He got rid of the last pastor. And when I came in, he thought, I can run this young dude. And when he realized he couldn't, then he was trying to get rid of me. But he knew probably as much, if not more, Bible than I did. He did more Bible studies, little Bible studies all over the place in people's houses than I did. He did more good works for the little old ladies of the church than I ever could. And yet he was a wolf. And a wolf is not saved. A wolf's not just a cranky sheep. A wolf is satanic. And we had to go through the whole church discipline process and learned a whole bunch of things. So, and I got a call a couple of years ago from the state police asking me about some of the sexual rumors that had been talked about him. And I said, I heard him, but I can't verify anything. So he's still tearing up Upper Michigan. There was a pastor's son out in Virginia Beach, large church years ago, 20, 30 years ago. And it got around, you know, because everybody hears these things. They had this huge revival going on. Here's the pastor. I mean, it's several thousand member church. And they're having this big revival. And they gave one of those old Baptists, it was a Baptist church, invitations. Come down the aisle to the front. And everybody's, you know, looking, people coming down the aisle. And one of the guys coming down the aisle is a staff member. Matter of fact, it's the pastor's son. And the pastor's son, who's a staff member, came down and trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Been working for years, not really a Christian. And everybody would have said, oh, yeah, brother so-and-so, he's a Christian. And he wasn't. Matthew 7, scariest passage, I think, in the Word of God, and there's a lot of them. Many will say to me on that day, this is Judgment Day, Lord, Lord. So they call Jesus Lord. They're not Buddhists or Islamists. Did not we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I, Jesus, will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers, into hell for eternity. But these people did more than most people in this room. I've never done the prophecy, really, biblical prophecy. Never cast out a demon, never performed a miracle. These folks were doing this in the name of Jesus. And at the end, Jesus said, there's a whole lot of folks who are on church staffs deacons, Sunday school teachers, worship team leaders, who I'm going to say, I never knew you. And you're like, well, that, John, that kind of proves the point that they lost their salvation. No, 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 no. You don't know Greek, do you? That word, never, is the Greek word. See if I can spell it. Udepot. Udepot, which means never formally at any time, in any level, in any manner did I know you. I used to know you and you trusted Jesus, but now you did some bad stuff and I kicked you out of the family. No, 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 no. I never knew you. You've been faking it all along. And you probably didn't even, they didn't even know they were faking it, which is huge. Here are the people that had all the right appearances. You can say, well, John, you know, they were saved, maybe the usher, deacon, working in the nursery, sang in the praise team. God says, I never knew you. Depart from me, away from me, you evildoers. If God says it, I expect you to believe it, amen? And if God doesn't, I expect you to believe that, whatever God is saying. You compare that, those people, with the people of John 10. Jesus said, here's a delineating factor. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Remember the other ones? He said, I never knew you. And they do what? Follow me. They don't just do it externally. They do it internally too. I give them what kind of life? Eternal life. They shall, when will they perish? Never. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And by the way, that no one is all inclusive. That means you can't snatch you out of Jesus' hand either. Amen? Amen? Praise God, because we all screw up. Write this down. Oh, no, let me jump onto this. 1 John. 1 John is all about knowing for sure you're a child of God. He talks about these folks. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So he said these people were here. They were here for maybe a long time, but then they just kind of left. Now you go, oh, I know a family that left for another church. Are they going to hell? Yes. No. 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 Back in this day, they basically had, you know, one church. So they were leaving the church, right, in each town. Write this down if you're a writer and a note taker. The faith that fizzles before the finish was flawed from the first. I wish I could say it was mine, but that, I stole that. The faith that fizzles before the finish was flawed from the first. And so you can get, can you backslide? Of course. David backslid. I backslid a little bit, you know, language-wise, a couple nights ago, right? So you could, but if you walk away, you just walk away and never come back like the prodigal, then you had a flawed faith at the first. You didn't really have saving faith. So eight reasons. How many reasons? Eight. That means there are how many points? Eight. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some of you lied in church like hallelujah. But we're going to go quick. All right. So you have to write quick, listen quick. The promise of the scriptures. The promise of the scriptures. In Romans 8. Man, I love Romans 8. Paul is laying it out. He says, for I am convinced, I don't just hope, I am convinced that neither, look at all that stuff, death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, and he says, in case I've missed anything, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That is a solid salvation. So what can't take me away from Jesus? Death, dying, however I die, life, however I live. Angels. All right, now angels wouldn't want to take you away from Jesus. Demons would, yeah. Present. Anything going on in your life right now. Future. Anything that's coming down the tracks at you. Any powers. Any politician. Idiot government official. Neither height. Nothing is high nor depth. Anything is low. Nor anything else. In case I forgot anything, we'll be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You find something that Paul omitted. He's nothing left out. Nothing left out. You ever have somebody that you trusted make a promise to you and then break it? Come on. Yeah. You know why that happened? And it may have disappointed you so badly. Here's what happened. They're not God. Because everybody's going to disappoint you. Your spouse is, your kids are, right? Your mama, your daddy. Everybody's going to disappoint you. Everybody's going to break a promise because they're not God. So they've got permission to not be God. But God can't give a promise and break it, or else he's not God. The Bible says that God, which cannot lie, amen? His promises are faithful. That's why I try to beat it into your head. Get, grab, understand, read, learn the promises of God. Why? So that you can claim them. Their promises to you, claim them. We looked last week. You will never leave me nor forsake me. No matter what Satan's whispering in my ear, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what valley I'm traversing, I know that God is there, even if I can't see him, feel him, hear him. He's there. Why? Because he promised. Because he promised. Number two, the perfection of the sacrifice. Oh, man. The book of Hebrews is all about the perfection, because it's you know, it takes that Old Testament sacrificial system and explains what it was all about. And it's pretty techy and pretty detailed. And he says in chapter 10, because by one sacrifice, he, this is Jesus, has made perfect how long? Say louder. Forever. Who? Those who are being made holy. Jesus' sacrifice was not deficient. It was a perfect sacrifice. It wasn't partial. It was perfect. All those other sacrifices in the Judaic system coming up were just pointing to the Lamb of God. All those little lambs that they had to slit their throats and pour the blood all over. You know, you screwed up. Oh, man, I screwed up. You got to go to the temple, bring your little sacrificial lamb. The lamb stands in your place. Its blood is shed for you. And that was pointing to the Lamb of God, Jesus, who was going to be slain one time, perfect sacrifice. Those little lambs weren't perfect sacrifices. They were kind of done on credit, looking ahead, if you will. Jesus' perfect sacrifice makes you, now grab this, perfect in the sight of God. You're like, John, I'm not perfect and neither are you. I know, but in the sight of God, he looks at me and sees the blood of Jesus, his perfect sacrificial son, applied to my soul. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see the junk of John, amen? God doesn't just save you, give you a new start, forgive you your past, and leave the rest up to you. He has taken care of your past, your present, and your future, amen? Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever. Like on the Sandlot, forever. Remember that? All right, anyway, just hit me. All right. Which means this, God's death on the cross for you was good for one salvation only. Like those things you get, you know, little tickets, good for one ride only, good for one salvation only. What do you mean, John? You can only be saved one time. And then it's forever. Well, I don't agree. Okay, cool. Hebrews 6. This is huge. It is impossible. Say impossible. Now track with us. For those who have once been enlightened. So these people were enlightened. They tasted of the heavenly gift. They have shared in the Holy Spirit. Who have tasted the goodness of the word of God. And the powers of the coming age. If. It's impossible. If they fall away. What's impossible, John? To be brought back to repentance. Because, why, John, why? Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to a public disgrace. What does that mean, John? What does that mean? He's saying, if you could lose your salvation, if you could lose it, you got saved, but then you screwed up so bad that God goes, I am so done with you, out of my family, forget it, no more salvation for you. And then you're like, oh, I need to be saved again. God would say, sorry, one time only, good for one salvation only. Because in order for you to get saved again, I'd have to send Jesus back down. He'd have to come through the womb of a virgin, and then he'd have to live a perfect sinless life and then go to the cross and die for your sins all over again. And every time he screwed up, he'd have to come back down and die again. And that would be subjecting him to public disgrace. You'd be crucifying the Son of God all over again. So what is he saying? If you could lose your salvation, you'll never get it back. Never get it back. If it was possible, you'll never get it back. The perfection of the sacrifice. But you say, well, John, what happens then if I sin after I'm saved? Not if, but when. Next time you get a leg cramp. I fail. You fail. But listen. I wouldn't trust my best 15 minutes in my life to get me to heaven. Not my best. Romans 4. Now, when a man works, his wages are credited to him as are not credited to him as a gift, right? Because he worked. It's not a gift when your employer, if your employer said, here's your gift of a paycheck, you'd be like, whoa, dude, whoa. I worked for that, right? So he's making that point. But as an obligation, you owe it to me. However, to the man who does not work, talk about these religious works that some of you are trying to do to get to heaven, but trust God who justifies the wicked. Ha, he called us the wicked, and we are. His faith is credited as righteousness. What's credited as righteousness? His faith. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And David knew by experience. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will, what? Never count against him. Murder, adultery, lies. He said, thank Jesus. I'm never going to have to answer for those. Praise you, Lord. I am blessed. Talk about being blessed. You've received something marked good for one salvation only. But it's eternal. It's eternal. Number three, the perseverance of the Spirit. Reason why we can know that our salvation is eternal. And we can't lose it because the Spirit perseveres. The perseverance of the Spirit. Now, if you're somewhat of a theologian, you go, no, John, you got to... Wrong. It's really called, everybody calls it the perseverance of the saints. No, you're wrong. Because saints don't persevere without the Spirit. They don't and they can't. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who, Christ, began a good work in you, here's the promise, will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus, until we face Jesus. The promise of God, when he, if he's done a work in you and he's doing a work in you, and that didn't just start when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That started way back in eternity past, before there was a heaven and an earth. And God did all those scary things that we look in the Bible, predestining, electing, right, calling, all of these things that it's choosing that he did. That's when he started the work on you before you were ever here. And then when you got here, he was doing the work on you. And at a certain point in time, he called you, drew you to himself. But he'd been doing this work a long time before you were ever around. And he said, I began a good work in you and I'm gonna carry it to completion. I'm gonna. This is another promise of God. I don't lose anybody through the cracks. I'm gonna. The perseverance. Now, this is not the saints, it's the perseverance of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is persevering because we're not very good in the perseverance department. And that's why those of you that think you have to really just keep being good, going to church, in order to, God's going to go, okay, yeah, all right, you made it because you didn't screw up too badly. And so, okay, you held on. And I'm going to let you into heaven. You persevered. We're not really good in the perseverance. Praise God, it doesn't work that way. Because I years ago, I realized, came to the moment of self-reflection when I realized I could not see my shoes anymore. But I had me a TV, and on TV, Chuck Norris, he told me that for 8 easy payments, I could look like him. I mean, who doesn't want to look like Chuck? Well, not anymore, but... I mean, Chuck, man, he looked good up to 80, whatever years old he was. And, you know, so I'm like, man, I want to be like Chuck. So I started those. And I called that 1-800 number. And it was shipped to my house. It was actually the parsonage up in Michigan. And I put it together. I'm so excited. Began working on, gonna be like Chuck. Did that for about 4 days. And then we realized this really, the way it's designed, could be better used in our basement. You can hang clothes on it. Very nice. And about 3 years later, we sold it for one easy payment of $25 at a garage sale. I was a quitter. I did not persevere. God is not a quitter. When he starts something, he sees it through. Amen. Amen. Number four. Are you tracking? Say number four. The predestination of the saints. Here's that scary word. Predestination of the saints. Oh, John, I don't believe in that there predestination stuff. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And we know. We what? We what? That in all things. How many things? Oh, God works for the good of those who love him. Doesn't say all things are good. It says in all things God's working good for you who've been called according to his purpose. All right, so there's the calling of God. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Whew. Mercy. That scary sounding word though to some of you. Predestination. Predestination. Well, John, predestination is so deep. And it is deep, but it's easy to understand really. What is predestination? Break the word apart. Predestination. You go to Orf, is it Orf? Orf? Airport? And you're going to go to, where do you want to go? San Diego? All right, so you go in, San Diego's your destination. You pay the ticket, and you get on the plane, and you trust that when they land, they don't say, we're in Detroit. Welcome to Detroit in January. Don't want that. I want San Diego. That was my predetermined destination. So what's the predetermined? Now, be careful when you answer this because you're going to answer it wrong, most of you. What is the predetermined destination that he's talking about here? No, nobody's going to answer. Smart people. Most people go, heaven! Wrong. Now, heaven is our destination, but not what he's talking about here. He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. That is the predetermined destination. God is going to make sure that every child of God is becoming more and more and more conformed. Not perfect until we get to heaven, but more and more and more like Jesus. That's the predetermined destination. God has a flight plan for you. And all of this cool stuff is what theologians call the golden chain of salvation. All right, and I realize it's a crappy graphic, but it's the only one I could find. So you got whom he foreknew, those he also did predestinate, and then he called them and he justified them, and the glory is going to glorify us, and it's established and performed by God. Inseparable links. One of them breaks, they all break. The whole chain is broken. So you are predestined to be like Jesus, like Christ. Now let me say this, you can write this somewhere. What has been predestined in eternity cannot be undone in time. What has been predestined in eternity cannot be undone in time. John, you don't know what I did. I don't have to. I know what David did, right? I know what I've done. And if we live in a pattern of unrepentant sin, then yeah, you ought to be concerned that you really got salvation, because it doesn't look like you do. Number five, say number five. The position of the saved, the position of the saved. I love this too. I love all this stuff. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ, he's a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Ephesians 2, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. That's called regeneration. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So he made us alive with Christ. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him and in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm with Christ. I'm in Christ. Our position, and we can't totally wrap our minds around this, our position is in Christ. If you're a child of God, you are in Christ. What an awesome place to be, amen? Whatever happens to Jesus happens to you. Whatever happens to you happens to Jesus. Some of you will fly to somewhere on vacation this summer, right? And you're going to fly there, and then your friends say, how'd you get here? Did you drive? No, we flew. Wrong, you did not fly. You didn't fly. You rode. You didn't do this. You sat down. Some of you in first class, you scallywags. Us people in coach hate your guts. Got your little warm towel, your large seat, and you rode. The plane flew. The plane flew. Or take it Old Testament. Noah's ark, he went in and was safe. God didn't say hallelujah. Here's how some of you think of salvation. All right, because he uses, takes from the Old Testament and uses in the New Testament Noah's Ark as a picture of salvation. And God didn't say to Noah, here, I want you to just build this ark. Cool, cool, cool. And then I want you to make some pegs on the outside of the ark, you know, enough for you and your family. And you all hold on with all your might. Hold on. I've made the boat. I've made the ark for you. And so you hold on. If you can hold on to that slimy peg for 40 days and 40 nights of rain till the waters recede, hallelujah, you'll be saved. That's how some of you think salvation is. Hold on. It's not that we hold on to him. It's that he holds on to us. Amen. Bible says that God told Noah, come into the ark. He didn't say go into the ark. He says, I'm already in here. Come on in. And then the Bible says, God shut the door. Noah's shut in. Waters of judgment shut out. That's a picture of our salvation. We are sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. Now get this, Noah may have fallen down inside the ark, and I reckon he probably did. Here's a picture. You didn't know they had cameras, not very good ones back then. Mrs. Noah right here, he's up there letting that dove go out. And he's up there and then he slips right here. He falls down, says some of those words. God did not throw Noah. Now, I'm sure in that period of time, Noah fell literally, figuratively, over and over and over again, but he always fell. He was still inside the ark. He didn't fall out of the ark. That's what the word of God is saying. Some of you think that your security is in heaven. Once you get there, I made it. Oh, I'm secure. You've always been secure. You've always been secure. Because if it's heaven's your security, guess what happened in heaven? Satan rebelled and 1/3 of the angels were kicked out of heaven. Security is not a place, but a person, amen. And the person is Jesus. Therefore, if you have Jesus as your Savior, you are just as secure right now as you'll be when you walk through the gates of heaven. Just as secure. Then number 6, you tracking? Say, I'm tracking. All right. The present tense of salvation. The present tense. What do you mean the present tense? In John 5:24, Jesus talking, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. But he has. Not he's going to get when he gets to heaven. Not he's going to get when I see that, okay, he's been a pretty good Christian. But right now, when you trust in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, bam, you have at that moment everlasting life. You have it right now. Now, okay, let me help you to visualize. How many of you visual learners? Okay, all right, a good portion of you. All right, Carnell, stand up, brother. Stand up in the aisle. Come a little forward. Come on, man. Come on, man. Just as I am and waiting not. All right, right there. All right, this is Carnell. Now, I've known Carnell for a long time. And Carnell's, you know, he's a Christian. So he says. But say, Carnell, how long have you been saved, Carnell? 22 years. 22 years. So say, Carnell, he's saved 22 years. And then he messes up. Gwen, Carnell messed up sometimes. You care to elaborate? Probably not. Okay. Smart lady. All right. So he messes up. He messes up big. And God goes, Carnell, dang it. 22 years. You couldn't hold on. So, and God says, no more. No more salvation for Carnell. Angels, strike his name. Gotcha. Carnell gone. All right. Sit down, Carnell. Give him a hand. Did Carnell really have eternal life? You don't know. I'm not sure. If God said you had it for 22 years, but now I'm taking it back, that isn't everlasting. That's 22 year. Thou shalt have 22 year life. Praise Jesus, I ain't got 22 year life. I got everlasting life, amen? Amen? Amen. Jesus gives everlasting life. And if I could have eternal everlasting life and lose it, it was never really eternal. That's what the word means. And if that happens, God's a liar because he's promised you will never perish. Number seven, say number seven. Prayers of the Savior. The prayers of the Savior. All right, now be honest, in church, you ever prayed a prayer and God said, no, come on, come on, really? There should be, every hand should be up. Some of you are lying in Jesus' house. All right, but what about Jesus? All right, your prayer life, I've been praying some stuff for years. I've been praying one prayer for 47 years. He still hasn't answered it. I hope he will before these people die because it's for salvation for some relatives. But I've had some prayers that, you know, then a few years later, I'm like, that was a stupid prayer. Thank you for not answering that prayer. But what about Jesus? Jesus, when he prays, he gets answers, amen? I pray for them. He's talking about his disciples, followers. I'm not praying for the world. This is interesting. I am not praying for the world. One thing that just kind of irks me a little bit, and maybe it shouldn't, but and I'm not thinking of anybody, but I'm sure some of you have done it. When in a prayer meeting or something, you go, dear Lord, I pray that you'll save the whole world. He's not gonna. He said he's not gonna. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many find that. That narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it, right? So, but he says, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, all right? Those that God chose, elected, predestined, called, gave to Jesus as his bride, the church, for they are yours. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That's that going through the valley of the shadow of death that we talked about last week. And he's, I am with you. And Jesus is praying to the Father for that. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. We heard it because somebody else heard it. Somebody else heard it. It goes all the way back to these guys that Jesus was praying. Praying for you, praying for me. Amen. The prayers of the Savior. So if you could lose your salvation, then Jesus didn't get his prayer answered for you. Number eight. Say number eight. Last one. Almost there. I love this. The power of God's sovereignty. The power of God's sovereignty. In 1 Peter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can perish when? Never perish. Spoil or fade. What is it? Kept. Some versions have reserved in heaven for you. You got a reservation. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until, John, I don't know. I just can't do it. Of course you can't do it. You were shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. God loves his kids. Amen. You trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He adopts you into his family. You're now his child. You carry his name. He changes you in so many ways that are not evident on the outside right away. But my kids, if it's in my power to keep my kids safe, I'm going to do it no matter what. And that's been manifest many times, I think, in my life with my kids. But my youngest is Janelle. Now she's 35. But she was just I called her my little hardhead because she just was very strong-willed all the way from when she was born. And so there was one time we went to Niagara Falls. How many of you been to Niagara Falls? Or you go to the Canadian side because that's prettier than the American side. And so we were on the Canadian side, and she's there, and she's just a little toddler, and so she wants to see the fall. Daddy, I want to see. 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 Okay, wait. I'm going to hold you up, but you know I'm going to hold you down. Okay. And so there's the edge right there, and she wants to see where it's going down. And so I'm like, okay, I'm cool. I don't need to get close. And she's like, close, Daddy. Close, Daddy, close. I want to see. I can't see, Daddy. Dang it. Daddy, please. It's right there. And then she wants to lean out. She pushes her little hands, and she was strong. Push her little hands. And I'm fighting her because I can just see, oops. She would have, you know. So I finally said, back, no, Daddy, no, no. We ain't going over there again, girl. You're crazy. Protect my kids. Power of God's sovereignty. So John, then are you saying that if I'm saved, I can sin all I want and I still got heaven? That's not, do not hear me saying that. In fact, Paul deals with that in the book of Romans. God's kids cannot sin and get by with it because he is a loving disciplinarian parent. Not like some of y'all. I see you, Walmart. Dear Lord Jesus. he will discipline you. Well, you know, John, I tell you what, you know, I got a thing going on in my life and God hasn't disciplined me yet. All right, that's two scary scenarios. One is you aren't really a child of God. You just come to his house enough like a neighbor kid, and the neighbor kid, you know, just kind of acts like he's part of the family, but everybody knows that's just a neighbor kid. Some of you, I love you in here, you're the neighbor kid. You think you're God's kid. You're like those people. You know, Lord, Lord, didn't I go to Point Arbor, Lord? We're not there in a week, Lord. You're the neighbor kid. Others of you are the prodigal. You know, God didn't have to spank the prodigal. He didn't. He just let the prodigal's decisions reach their end. Some of you, God, he's like, all right, I ain't going, you know, go ahead, do what you want. Because I know where you're going to end up with that decision. I don't need to interfere. I don't need to come and grab you and shake you. I'm just going to let you wait until you, whatever, run out of money, run out of friends, blow up your relationship, those type things. Some of you are prodigals, and then when everything blows up, just like with the prodigal son, that's what he's teaching here, then you come to yourself, oh, I need to get back. I need to get back to my father, still my daddy. I don't know if dad's going to treat me like he's my father anymore, but I'm willing to work as a servant because I am starving, eating this pig food. And some of you here, you're almost at pig food level in your stupid decision. God don't have to spank your butt, and sometimes he does, but a lot of times God just goes, you do you. You do you. I'll see you when you get tired of doing you. You'll come back because you're my child. But instead of doing you, why don't you do Jesus? Save yourself some heartache. Amen? God wants you to know that you're a part of his family. Those of you who pray every time I pray and you pray and trust Jesus all over again, stop it. Stop it. Grab a hold of the fact that Jesus means what he says. Well, John, I get it. My wife, Robin, is analytical. Some of you are analytical. And so an analytical person is like, did I really mean it? Was I just doing it? Did I have bad motives? Did I say the right words? You analytical, you know who you are. And so you're the ones that pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. That's the blessing of being a more concrete thinker. I'm a concrete, I'm not deep. Jesus says, if I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and went to the grave for my sins and rose victorious on the third day over the power of my sins. And, you know, and then if I believe that on the cross he shed his blood and that blood could be applied to my sins. And if I just simply accept him as my Lord and Savior by faith, not try to work at all for it, but just say yes to Jesus, then he'll save me and give me eternal life. And when I, a concrete thinker, hear that, I'm going, cool, want that. Dear Lord, please give me that. I very rarely, not never, but I very rarely wrestled with a lack of assurance of my salvation, even in the rough periods of my life. Because I'm more, you analytical folks, you wrestle with some of you every day. I hear from some of you. Quit praying the prayer. If you need to pray it one more time, we're going to pray in a second. But nail it down. Drive a stake in it. This date, June 7th, 2026, I prayed for the last time and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I don't need to pray for that again because he's kind of tired of hearing from me. God wants you to know. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. We looked at that, eternal life. Not temporary till you screw up life. This life is in his Son if you got Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that, here's why I'm writing all this, you may know that you have eternal life. Man, he wants you to know it. Satan doesn't want you to know it. Satan wants you to not really ever be sure because then you're kind of sidelined. You're thinking about you. You're not thinking about the mission of God. My question, do you have him as your Savior? Do you have him as your Father? That last scary text again, many will say to me on that day, don't let this be you. All right, for those of you that, see, the scary thing is there's a whole lot of people in here who are saved, solid saved. Some of you have been saved for decades, and you're not sure you're saved. And then there are other people in here that are this. You ain't saved, but you think nobody could talk you out of it because you do all this church stuff. Many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never at any point, at every time, at any level knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Don't let that be you. God, we pray that you will help us to grab a hold of this amazing truth. And Lord, I pray for folks that have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that they'll get it locked in today, or whether they pray or not, they'll say, okay, today was the day when I said, okay. I mean, the eight reasons why I can't lose my salvation. And then these other folks that they've got a profession but not a possession, I pray for them that you will wake them up and help them to realize there is a scary time coming when some of them are going to be blown away because they thought there was this really cool mansion that you've been preparing, and all you say is, away from me, I never knew you. So whichever side, Lord, that we're on, help us to make the wise, right spiritual decision. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, one more time. It's not a magic prayer. It's not magic words. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, makes it real simple for us, you will be saved. Will be, promise of God. You're believing all those things about Jesus. You're believing that you are a sinner, that you can't do a thing to impress him, that you're not bringing anything in your hands but just your sins. Not your religion, not your works, not your baptism, nothing. You're just bringing yourself and you're saying, Lord, please, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And you already paid this for me. And so right now I'm receiving that gift of eternal life. I'm believing and I'm receiving. So if that's you, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just pray this real simple prayer and mean it. If you don't mean it, don't pray it. If you mean it, just say something like this. Some of you for the last time, make this the last time. Dear Lord Jesus, tell him that. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you're God. I know you died on the cross for my sins. Tell him that. Went to that grave because of my sins. Rose victorious over my sins. And on the cross, you paid for my salvation. My entrance into heaven, my forgiveness, my entrance into the family of God. You totally paid for that. Tell him that. Right now, I want that. I believe that. And I'm receiving by faith that. Please, Lord Jesus, give me your salvation. Give me yourself. Make me in Christ. Put me in your family. I'm believing on you as my Lord and Savior to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Tell him that. Save my soul. Make me yours. Because today I'm making you mine. In Jesus' precious name. And then tell him this. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Thank you for saving me. Amen.